right, good morning, everybody. Today is Tuesday, December 2nd, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is 45 degrees and, I don't know, it looks like it's raining, but I guess it's not right now. But it's right below us, partly cloudy here in upstate New York. It's kind of crappy, one of those make you want to go back to bed this morning type of days. But hey, I'm here. At least for now, we'll try and make it through this hour. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show, Technocratic Green March to Global Control at COP21. And that's pretty much what's going on there. And they are using now climate change. And we looked at all the different things that, yes, they say. And then, oh, no. The scientists reworked all the data. No, we didn't find that it was warming or cooling. Don't worry about that. It's all gone. You know, we looked at some other things, too, that could be raising questions with all the volcanoes erupting and things of that nature. You know, they can reflect sunlight. They can cool the planet as well. Who the hell knows, honestly. But I guess the end result of it is I'm listening yesterday. And you know that they would be doing this. So you got all these rich people now at this event in Paris. You know, we got 20, I think, was it 20 or 120,000 troops on the street? It had to be more than 100. It had to be 120 because in the very beginning it was 20. And now we got all this extra security. So we got this lockdown security state. They're surveilling everywhere. We got states of emergency across Paris and Belgium. They're breaking people's civil liberty rights if they even have any over in Europe. You know, they're blocking protesters in the name of security. But not only that, they are all flying in, driving big fancy cars, eating big fancy meals. Everybody's hobnobbing and elbow rubbing as they're pointing to you and saying, hey, guess what? You know we screwed up the planet. All of us rich entrepreneurial billionaires dumping toxins into the air and soil and water and, you know, burning fossil fuels with absolutely no pollution controls for many years, and then cried about carbon credits because it would be too expensive, then cut into our bottom line profits, and then we'll move our jobs to China or Mexico anyway, if you complain too loudly, so don't do it. You know, and as they've done all this and now force us to a point where whatever's going on, there's definitely climate change. Who knows if it's up or down, but none of it looks good. You know, I mean, there are people out there, I don't know if there are people that are actually denying, but whatever you're denying, the stuff that's going on right now as far as the mass extinctions across the globe, and pay attention, because there's a lot of shit dying right now. And yeah, we can say it's cyclical and hope, but I have a feeling it's kind of not. You know, my entire life I've been very vocal about just the complete disrespect and disregard that I've seen from my fellow humans for the planet. You know, I'm an animal lover and a tree lover and a butterfly lover and pretty flower lover. It's kind of my thing, and it's been a very sad 40 some odd years watching it transpire, but it's come to a point now where I think we screwed it up to a point where now we really got problems, Clyde. And so they brought us now to this point where because of the corporations and their unsustainable manufacturing processes and the disposable society, we talked about that yesterday. You know, the 70s was all about plastic and throwing it away. Paper plates, baby. You know, we've really been groomed. It wasn't our fault. We've been groomed to be this disposable, instant gratification. I need it now. I don't work for anything. I don't know how to work hard for anything because I expect it to be given to me instantly. And they primed us for the world of the 3D synthetic printed food. It's exactly what they did. So anyway, Let's continue on here a little bit, because there's, like, I mean, if you think it was disturbing yesterday, the day before, or a week ago, wait till you see some of the crap I ran across last night. All right, so anyway, Technocratic Green March to Global Control at COP21 was the name of the show. And we ended it up looking at some new initiative that is being spun at the COP21 conference. Like, how convenient that we got the clowns, Zuckerberg and Billy Gates, showing up at COP21 and announcing their new initiative that's going to make them all kinds of money, but it's going to be good for the planet as well. You know, I wish I had bazillions of dollars to invest into all these psychotic technologies that I've been telling you guys about. They're all going to be moneymakers, but we're selling the human race down the river. And I know, they put a pretty face on it. Lots of smiley bows, we're going to save the planet. And Zucker Mucker just had his first child, and he announced he's giving away 99% of all of his wealth to save the world. You know, I mean, for that much money, I don't remember the amount, but for that much money, it still left him millions to toy with. But on the other hand, like, you just look at him, he's such a goofy guy, and you're going to tell me you're going to give away, like, it was 300 and some a billion dollars, or I don't know, we'll get to that story. It was a massive amount of money, and it's all going to be about longevity and curing disease, personalized learning and medicine. I mean, these rich guys are trying to create a world that then they are going to stuff us into. It's not about what you want or what I want or what you like or what I like milk in my coffee. No, it's about what they determine is appropriate, because now it's all in the name of pulling together to save the planet. You know, what's interesting, too, about the psychological aspect of all this is one of the things that they had talked about, and I believe it was Wernher von Braun who had talked about, or no, wait, it wasn't Wernher, it was Reagan. Ronald Reagan. There was a conversation I had once that I connected a lot of these dots together, but Ronald Reagan was the one that had come out and said that if we had an outside enemy outside this world that we all had to fight against to save the planet, it would bring us all together as one big happy Earth. Well, we might not be seeing blue beam aliens and the god of your choice floating in out of the sky yet, but we are now being told that it is time to fight the global demon of climate change as a planet to save the planet. And this is how I know that this is one big fat agenda, because how convenient this week, as we have COP21 going on in Paris, that my child brings home homework yesterday. So we're sitting there doing the math. I mean, we're not doing the math. I sit there. I'm coach. All right, come on. Number two. All right, let's go. Number three. I want to eat someday. But we got to the English. And it's usually just composition or something to come up. Question number one. And this was yesterday, mind you. So right in tandem with COP21. Question number one of the English homework for elementary school happens to say, if you were asked to give up a luxury item to save the planet, would you? And please explain why. So they're even rolling it to the kids right now about giving up things that they love. Luxuries, things that we used to take for granted, to do more with less. And of course, my daughter says to me, yes, Mom, like meat. I'm not eating bugs. I'm like, good, honey, because neither am I. It's pretty funny, but that's exactly what they're asking. Now let's make sure we hammer it like we did with you kids in the 70s, where we told you it was going to be a problem, and we taught you about how evil nuclear energy was, and how, you know, we have the oil embargo, so we need to go solar, we need to go alternative energies, and here we are, what, 40 years later? And sure, we dabble here and there in alternative energy, but nothing's changed. And now they're acting like, you know, I was watching the interview, and we were going to play this today, this interview with Bill Gates talking about hydrocarbons and how evil they are and how much damage they've done to the planet. And like, literally, you and me and Nana and everybody should feel bad that we drive cars that put out hydrocarbons. 1970s. In the 1970s, they were already talking about getting rid of oil because there was an embargo, because it was too expensive, because we might be running out of oil. I don't remember what all the reasons were, but it was a serious consideration. And, oh, we're going to go all green. I did a paper at 9 on why solar is better than nuclear. There was a big consciousness about it. What happened? Why is it my fault? I was 9 and you were talking about it. And now here we are, 2 generations later, not 1, 2. And my kid's 9. And you're teaching my kid the same shit. Except now, 40 years later, fuck, it's a big problem. So now it's such a big problem. It's not just about stopping cars from having running on oil. That was gotten so bad that you can't have meat. We're going to tell you, you can't have meat. You can't have milk, and it's not sustainable, and we better start figuring something out, because now we can't feed people. We can't breathe, and the weather's all fucked up. You know, this gets me mad. And of course, I'm trying to be politically correct with homework. Like, well, honey, you can't put that they're going to take away our meat, because, you know, when you go against things like that, I said, this is an agenda. She's like, well, what are they going to say if I say, no, I'm not willing to give up a luxury item to save the planet? I said, then you know what, honey? They're going to figure out who the people are who are against the system. And you don't want to come out in public as being against the system when they know who you are, because then you become a target. It's just very sad that at this young of an age, my kid has to figure out how to play outside the system, how to have her own beliefs and not feed into what they're trying to brainwash them with, but then have to play the game so she doesn't become an outcast. I don't know. It's very disturbing to me. All right, let's read a little bit of this. So Bill Gates has teamed up with Mark Zuckerberg to form a multi-billion-dollar clean energy fund. And we discovered yesterday it wasn't just Zuckerberg. We also had George Soros, according to the Wired magazine article on this. Alibaba CEO Jack Ma, right? That's your Amazon junk bazaar, but selling Chinese cheap goods. China's Google or China's Amazon. We also have Richard Branson. I don't know. They named a bunch of other people. We'll get into it. Let's read this. Sorry, guys. I'm like really out of it today. We're getting cold again. It was warm. It was in the mid-50s here yesterday and the day before. And I was getting spoiled as in maybe it's spring. And now it's 30 or 40 degrees. I don't even remember if I did the temperature today. And I don't know, my brain goes into hibernation mode. So don't mind me. All right, anyway, Bill Gates has launched a multi-billion dollar initiative to fund new clean energy technologies with the likes of Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, Alibaba CEO Jack Ma, and Virgin Group's Richard Branson, among the band of almost 30 high profile early investors who are committed to taking clean energy ideas out of the lab and into the marketplace to cut the costs of sustainable energy once and for all. Now, why aren't they all getting behind helping bring the price down for Tesla's home battery? Now, if you're going to put like $47 billion, I don't know, we'll find out how much it was, but it was a huge, I mean, mega huge amount of money. If you're going to put that much in there for developing clean energy ideas, there's some really good ones out there already. Why are we going to recreate the wheel? Why would we not just subsidize Branson's battery and give everyone in the world a battery to run enough electricity and store it to be independent and off the grid? You know what? That sounds like a really, really good idea. I'd like to ask somebody that one, but it probably won't make them money. So that would be why. All right. Anyway, announced at the 2015 United Nations Climate Change Conference in Paris, which started yesterday, the Breakthrough Energy Coalition, which is what they're calling themselves, brings together governments and universities, billionaire entrepreneurs, investment fund managers, and tech CEOs from around the world that recognize the huge investment needed to replace fossil fuels with modes of cheap, sustainable energy production. So, I guess they told us Breakthrough Energy Coalition. Hold on, maybe I can right click. Copy. We'll see if we can get a whole list of everybody that's involved here. BreakthroughEnergyCoalition.com. They do have a website. Oh, let's see. Who are we? I don't know the first guy listed. Chairman and Managing Director, Reliance Industries Limited, India. Okay, that sounds like a front name. John Arnold, co-chair of the Laura and John Arnold Foundation, United States. No idea. Oh, I know this guy. Mark Benioff, founder, chairman, and CEO of Salesforce.com. And I can tell you, personal experience with that stock. I bought it at like $6 a share. It's some insane price now, and it's split like 4 or 10 times. Wish I would have actually bought more than like 6 shares. But yeah, Salesforce, since 2004, you would have been extremely rich if you would have invested your money in them. Like I told all my bosses too, but hey, nobody listened. At least I bought 6 shares. Good old Jeff Bezos is involved, founder and CEO of Amazon, and hey, designer of the brand new, very first reusable space rocket. Yes, good old Jeff Bezos. All right, well, anyway, so we went through all these countries, so you guys missed it. I was going through all the countries that are involved in this Breakthrough Energy Coalition. We have people from all of the big countries that Billy Gates loves to do business in, like India. I don't know if he does business in Saudi Arabia, but listen to this. So we got investment firms, people from India, United States, Saudi Arabia, the UK, Nigeria, more United States, United States, United States, China, South Africa, France, Germany, United States, China, United States, Japan, United States, George Soros, yes, George Soros, United States, India, United States, China, United States, United States, with the last one on the list, besides all these billionaires globally and large corporations such as Hewlett Packard, yeah, they're involved too. We also have the Office of the Chief Investment Officer of the University of California as being an investor. Lovely, huh? All right, anyway, let's get back to the story. And of course, it is just in time, this organization being announced at the COP21 yesterday, conveniently. It is just in time with the world expected to be using 50% more energy by 2050 than it does today. And while the intent of the initiative sounds noble, it hasn't attracted billions in investments just because it aims to mitigate the effects of climate change and bring energy to 1 billion people in the world who are currently living without electricity. Gates says that the primary goal of the coalition is as much to accelerate the progress on clean energy as it is to make a profit. Yay! So, yes, it is official. Sustainable energy just isn't good for the environment. It is set to become one of the best investments that you can make for your dollar. Now, we're continuing from where we left off yesterday, because best investments for your dollar seems to be a lot of things today. So, now it's alternative energies. Yesterday, it was precision medicine, DNA analytics, longevity projects, being able to create sustainable foods with characteristics that will work in our newfound reality of our environment. Let's make drought-resistant crops and splice and dice genes, because that's the right thing to do for the planet. The funds will be invested in the most promising innovations from research institutions around the globe that can show significant gains on current efficiency levels in solar, wind, hydro, and biofuel technologies. And basically, researchers have done a great job up until this point, but in order to make these technologies some seriously competitive with carbon-based energy production, they need some serious cash. Well, I would like to know what happened to all my tax dollars with Solyndra, Mr. Barry Obama? What happened to all of these alternative energy companies that you gave all these subsidiaries to, subsidies to, that then, after they hired all their friends and bought all their shit, they went belly up and then shipped all the jobs and the manufacturing for the solar cells to where? Oh, China. All on the taxpayer dime. But now I guess we need some serious cash. Not taxpayer cash from the lowly people. No billionaire cash gets stuff done, I guess. All right, let's continue. The renewable technologies we have today, like wind and solar, have made lots of progress and could be one path to a zero carbon energy future. Remember, zero carbon energy future is good old Billy Gates' TED conference. I put that in the notes yesterday if anybody missed that. But given the scale of the challenge, we need to be exploring many different paths, and that means we need to invent new approaches, said Gates. Now, again, I ask, we got that Tesla battery to run cars, to run houses, to put us all fully independent off-grid, be able to store energy like there's no tomorrow. We got all these new kinds of high-capacity solar cells that they've been working on over the last 5+ years that I've been watching it very closely. We've talked about some of them where I told you they've been able now to really harness photosynthesis in the fact that they can get many wavelengths of light versus just one now and pull the energy out of all those different wavelengths. So they have increased the efficiency of solar cells a large amount, and now they're also doing them out of natural materials as opposed to silicone and other things. I mean, I don't think it's very far down the road there's going to be something very cheap. They were using even like grass or plant cells at one point to make something very cheap and dirty that worked well for third world countries. Where is all that technology? How come that isn't already commercialized? Because there's no money in it. That's why. There's no money for selling sunshine. You know, but they're making it sound like they're the first ones. Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg were the first assholes to ever have the idea. Let's come up with a way to make alternative energies. I mean, 1970s. I've been waiting since the 1970s. And now you're going to tell me that we need a zero carbon energy future. And that means no more milk in my coffee because Bessie's got to go to permanent pasture in the sky. Oh, but don't worry about it. China and their cloning factories are pumping stuff right out. You know, how interesting, too. I asked the other day when we looked at those human cow hybrid milk things that China had cloned and then genetically modified and then had 300 of those things birthed. I was like, you know, it's been 3 or 4 years. We haven't heard another word about these cloned cows pumping out human milk, and I wonder what happened to them. Well, there's not one, but there were three, I believe, stories this week coming out of China about their cloning factories. Put on a seatbelt now that your country of origin labels are gone. We'll be eating Bessie Bob here very soon. Oh, you guys, you don't even know. Like, I don't think I'm going to do well in the future. Not at all. Oh, okay. Do I even care about this? I mean, all right, we'll read a little bit more, and then maybe we'll let our skin crawl a little bit as we listen to Mr. Bill Gates with his voice. According to CNN, the fund has announced that it will focus its attention on new technology that addresses five key areas: electricity generation and storage. Again, like I said, you guys should be going to get good old Elon Musk involved. Transportation, industrial uses, agriculture, and great efficacy. Announced at the same time is a second new initiative. Yes, let's make sure we announce a whole bunch of them to confuse people. And this one is called Mission Innovation. And this is a commitment by 19 countries. I guess by all the private billionaires again, including the U.S., China, and India, to invest more in research on clean energy. By signing this pledge, these countries have committed to doubling their spending on sustainable energy technologies over the next 5 years. Gates has published a paper that he says makes a more detailed case for investing in energy innovations, which you can download, ding, here. I'll put this story into the notes of the show afterwards so you can find that. It's right. You can get his download right before his video. All right, so let's see if I can, hold on, I got to get this, the Skype always goes to sleep. Let's open up my Skype and let's get online. All right, it worked. Everything has been very buggy this morning. And we'll see if I can unplug my speakers so we don't get feedback. And let's call the Skype, and we're going to listen to what good old Billy Gates has to say. I honestly, anything this guy does, there's an agenda. He's a billionaire. The only way you remain a billionaire is to invest your money and keep being a billionaire. And so for any philanthropy that's out there, you know, he's just a good investor. That's all he is. All right. Connect. Connectez-vous. Let's go. Oh, I hear a ding-a-lingy. Hey, I think we're in. All right, good old Billy Gates. Here's his interview called Energy Innovation. And wait, let's make sure my volume is up. I've been keeping it turned down. Oh, I was... All right, I was watching.
All right, here we go.
Maybe.
Oh my God.
Well, the modern lifestyles we lead depend on a huge amount of energy. The fact that we can make steel, that we have cars, air conditioning, heating, cooking, that's all based on energy. If you could change the price of one thing to really lift up the lives of the poorest people everywhere, it would be the price of energy. They can get to their jobs, they can buy fertilizer, they can have lights at night. The energy miracle that's allowed for modern civilization is primarily based on hydrocarbons. That is coal, gasoline, natural gas. And as we burn that and release that, it heats up the atmosphere, and that heating changes the climate in a way that's a terrible threat to particularly the poorest people on the planet. What we need to do is fund the kind of researchers who are looking at the early stages of these problems.
Here's the thing. I don't know why now this machine has that echo issue. So that's all the machines that have that issue now. Here's the thing. He said that these are like fledgling problems and we're going to just start looking at them. What happened to the 70s? We've been doing alternative energy exploration and ideas for 40 or 50 years now. Our tax dollars have been going into that, into the Department of Energy. We have a congressional document called the Synthetic Biology Report to the Energy Department from 2013, where they've been looking at all kinds of alternative energies. Where is all that? Why are we now at the mercy of all these rich billionaires to be the ones to figure it out? Because the corporations and the government couldn't do it, so the rich billionaires have to come save us. This, if I didn't know any better, I would say that the whole time that we thought that they were doing anything to help us, the money was just getting shoveled out the back door into someone else's pockets. And I mean, again, Bill Gates, he's good at making profit. So let's take this opportunity of the world going to pot and people being afraid that this planet is going to tip off a shelf, and let's make some money at it. Oh, yes.
Look at where we've had huge success in the past. The government's been there to fund the basic research. That was true for the digital revolution, where government contracts led to the internet. We need the basic.
Yes. And you know what? I love the way they always have to pull that one out there to kind of justify government contracts. So DARPA's contractors discovered the internet. Yes, they did.
Research. But we have to pair that with people who are willing to fund high-risk breakthrough energy companies. And that formula will accelerate the innovation at the research level, accelerate the risk-taking, and that's what gives us a chance of having a solution that really let us not have to give up energy usage and yet not damage the environment. I am optimistic. I think we will get the increased investment. If we come together, really realize what solves the problem, then we will make the breakthroughs.
And here's the thing. I honestly have no issue whatsoever if they want to come up with some way for us to have the type of availability that we have now in some way that isn't like clear cutting the tops of mountains and blowing them off to get coal, or pumping frack water and having it blow out in your neighbor's yard as they have toxins flowing in their stream and ignitable water coming out of their sink, okay? I don't want to see any of that. And it's angered me that these oil companies have been making bazillions of dollars, and the Arabs have been making bazillions of dollars and using it to manipulate and control the world for all these years. You know, lots and lots and lots of rich assholes that are running the world that are also involved in oil. But on the other hand, we don't need a new set of billionaires to step in and take the place of the old oil moguls to now be the new controllers to control everything, right? So give it all away for free or get some public investment involved. I mean, if the federal government has been investing in all this time to come up with ways for alternative energy and giving handouts to all these companies, my personal opinion is there shouldn't be any owner or profiteer from coming up with clean energy then, because now there's a motive. If there is profiteering, there's always someone controlling the technology. I think it should be something, if they want to be like so philanthropic, then they should just give it all away to everybody for free without having to pay for it. So everybody has free energy forever, made out of some sort of renewable means that does not damage the environment. How's that for a utopian vision, Mr. Bill Gates, pretending like you're doing something good for the planet? Here's another big pretender with his picture of his newborn baby. And maybe he's got a few minutes of oxytocin that makes him feel like he loves everything, but that's not going to last long. Good old Zuckerberg says he's given away 99% of his Facebook shares, currently worth about $45 billion, during his lifetime to advance his new mission. It says this, the tech leader took to social networking on Tuesday to announce the birth of his first child and the formation of his new philanthropic group called the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, which he said will, quote, join people across the world to advance human potential and potentially promote equality for all children in the next generation. Well, what a nice and happy vision that is. You know, when you got to paint a happy face on, what do they call that? They call that your mission statement. You know, so you can point to that and go, this is my mission statement. You don't have to follow that necessarily. Just have a good mission statement so investors or anyone that's involved with your company goes, ah, because no one ever looks under the covers. It says the announcement was framed as a letter written by Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, to their new baby girl. According to the Facebook head, the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative will focus on, quote, personalized learning, curing disease, connecting people, and building strong communities. I mean, if you can be any vaguer than that. According to an SEC filing, the Zuckerbergs own 419 million Facebook shares, and at Tuesday's closing price of $107.12, Zuckerberg's pledge to give away 99% of these shares to his newly formed initiative is worth $44.3 billion. Zuckerberg will keep for himself $449 million worth of shares of the company, along with a majority of Facebook's B shares, which provide him with voting rights. As Business Insider noted, Zuckerberg signed the giving pledge in 2010, which meant, and that's that where all the billionaires promised to give away like all their wealth or a good majority of it, which meant that he committed more than half of his wealth to philanthropy or charity. The giving pledge was started by who? Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. Which is a suitable given that Zuckerberg is going to come, has said that Gates was his hero growing up. Oh, boy. So he's walking in the footsteps of Bill Gates' hero. Bill Gates used to be my hero. Way, 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 way back in the day when he was meeting with world leaders that wouldn't come 10 feet near our president, but Bill Gates is in there shaking hands and selling a copy of Windows on every desktop. Yeah, that was until we saw the antitrust lawsuit and the smile and that look in his eye when he came out of the courtroom. That's when it all changed. All right. So there is also something else going on this week. And it is a global summit that is running right now, started yesterday, same day as the climate summit, ends tomorrow in Washington, D.C., titled, I don't know what it's called. Did they give the name? Well, we'll read the beginning. At large and international meetings on the ethics of editing the human genome. And researchers are curious about how perceived differences in attitudes will play out. We are sort of hoping to take the temperature of the world, says David Baltimore, a virologist at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. Oh, how interesting. Weren't they one of the big investors in the Bill Gates Energy Fund, too? Who is chairing the, here it is, International Summit on Human Gene Editing, running December 1st through 3rd in Washington, D.C. So it is going on right now as we speak. Jointly organized by the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, the U.S. National Academy of Medicine, the Chinese Academy of Sciences, and the U.K. Royal Society. Remember in the U.K., they had all those petri dishes full of human animal chimeras. I think it was over, is it over 100 or 300? Back a few years ago, we talked about those quite a number of times, and we have Chinese cloning factories going on right now. So yeah, what a good gaggle of geese for this one. Says the meeting is expected to draw representatives from more than 20 countries, including India, Sweden, and Nigeria. The popularity of the genome editing tool, CRISPR-Cas9. How many times have we talked about that? And it looks like it's finally making headlines. CRISPR, which uses bacterial enzymes to cut genomes in precise spots to disrupt or repair troublesome genes, has sparked an ethical debate. And many believe that the time is ripe for an international discussion. Well, you really think? I'm telling you, don't forget, this CRISPR-Cas9 has allowed them to utilize the gene drive technology, which means that once you find where that DNA needs to be cut, taken out, and then replaced with something else, you then can send it throughout the entire organism and the population to replicate. And within one generation, change all of the organisms. That's very bothersome because that could be the end of life as we know it very, very easily. And of course, the National Security, FBI has already been coming out going, oh, if this shit got in the hands of terrorists, we'd have lots of problems. Really? Yes, really. We're going to be giving the power of gods to the world. And we have no rules. They are hoping that this meeting will illuminate any scientific, ethical, and cultural differences in how countries think about genome editing, and perhaps even lead to the beginnings of an international consensus on the outstanding scientific questions, research priorities, and ethical guidelines. Blah, 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 blah. All right. So, special. I want to thank Pigmine for this one. He found me, good old Nora, on CBS this morning doing a CRISPR-Cas9 Technology 101 interview yesterday with who? Oh, Jennifer Doudna, the founder of CRISPR. Yes. So we're going to listen to that. It's about 6 minutes. So let's check it out.
Now to this story, revolutionary technology that can edit genetic mistakes is getting attention and scrutiny this morning. CRISPR could help rid us of diseases like cystic fibrosis, muscular dystrophy, and even HIV and cancer. Think about that. But many scientists, including CRISPR's developer, Jennifer Doudna, are calling for a moratorium on its use in humans. Tomorrow, she holds a global summit on the ethical issues. And only on CBS This Morning, Doudna shows us why, for all its promise, CRISPR is surrounded by controversy.
And what is CRISPR?
CRISPR, first of all, it's an acronym. It stands for Clustered Regularly Interspaced short palindromic repeats, a huge mouthful. You can see why we use the acronym CRISPR.
So I'm sorry, what's CRISPR again?
Geneticist Jennifer Doudna gets asked that question a lot. A researcher and professor at UC Berkeley, Doudna has become a spokesperson for a gene editing technology she's credited with developing, that mouthful known as CRISPR.
I've heard it compared to essentially like a film editor, slicing a bit of film.
I would say that's a great analogy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How does that work then?
Well, think about a film strip, you know, and you see a particular segment of the film that you want to replace. And if you had a film splicer, you would go in and literally cut it out and piece it back together, maybe with a new clip. Imagine being able to do that in the genetic code, the code.
Yeah, imagine being able to do that in the genetic code. Wow, that sounds pretty damn scary if it's as easy as cutting out a couple frames on a piece of film with a razor blade and sticking a new one in.
Of life. You could go in and snip out a piece and replace it with something that corrects a mutation that would cause disease.
That's incredible.
It's incredible.
CRISPR has generated immense excitement because it's fast, cheap, and can cut and paste genetic code with great precision. It used to take months or years to alter a single gene. Now, that can be done in a matter of days.
Could it end cancer?
What I'm excited about there is the potential to use the CRISPR technology to program a patient's immune system to recognize tumor cells in a precise way.
Could it cure, at some point, virtually any disease?
I don't know about any disease, but I think any disease that has a genetic basis is something that could be treated using the CRISPR technology.
And imagine, Doudna says we could expect to see clinical applications of CRISPR within the next few years.
Ding, ding. Yeah, they keep telling us that none of this technology is that far along. Remember, 21st Century Care Act is coming full frontal for us to get that pesky FDA and any remaining regulatory agencies out of the way of life-saving cures, because we can cure everything. Just make sure you step right up and become our guinea pig.
This is no longer science fiction.
But alongside CRISPR's promise come some fears of its perils, like embryo editing that could lead to designer babies.
What is the dark side of this technology?
One of them is, of course, making changes to human embryos, which become permanent. So we're talking about something that would affect human evolution.
Yes, like forever and ever and ever.
Could have an instance where a lab is creating lots of human embryos.
China.
Just for the sake of experimenting on genome editing on them.
China.
Right?
If you're asking me, could that be done technically? The answer is it could. Right? Could it be done with current regulations in place? Certainly not in the U.S.
No, or Europe.
Right? Or Europe, right.
Mm-hmm. China. Yeah.
There's still a lot of other countries other than the U.S.
Well, this is the thing, right?
Yeah,
science is global, right? Yeah. Science is global. And, you know, and there are different cultural viewpoints on that kind of application.
In April, Chinese scientists reported using CRISPR to edit the disease genomes of human embryos for the first time.
Ding, ding.
Experiment was a failure, but it sparked concerns worldwide.
I and my colleagues have called for a global pause.
Doudna has long been vocal about the need to set ethical boundaries and is convening an international summit tomorrow in Washington, D.C.
What do you hope comes out of that?
I think it would be great if we can at least get on the table the key issues. It's hard to imagine that there would be a consensus by all of the parties at the table about how to proceed, but I do think that the first step is really to have that kind of open conversation.
As many questions as there are about how to safely use CRISPR, there are still more about who legally owns it.
You can't read about you without reading about a patent dispute between you and Dr. Feng Zhang at MIT. How would you describe that back and forth between the two of you?
Non-existent. You know, I think both of us are scientists. I leave patent disputes to the people that make the big bucks.
But royalties for this technology could be worth billions of dollars.
Yeah, royalties for this technology could be worth billions of dollars.
Well, you know, again, I try to stay focused on what's important to me, which is the use of this to really treat human disease and to cure other problems in human societies.
Emmanuel Charpentier and Jennifer Doudna.
The high hopes and high stakes associated with CRISPR have catapulted Doudna into a rare stratum of scientific celebrity. Last year, she and her research partner received the $3 million breakthrough prize in life sciences, which seems to be only the beginning.
Your name has been floated repeatedly for the winner of the Nobel Prize in science. What do you think? Maybe next year?
I mean, I'm just incredibly honored and kind of shocked to see that. I don't honestly think much about it.
Were you surprised when Time magazine named you one of the 100 most influential people?
I was completely surprised. That came at me out of the blue, yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty heady group. You're in with Charlie Rose and Pope Francis.
Yeah, I know. Pretty interesting. It was a fun party.
All right, so we're ending it here. So there we go. That was pretty much the 101 on CRISPR technology with Jennifer Doudna. It's just like editing film, snip, snip, and put in the new genes. So talking about that, we know already that China, and they mention it, that China has been messing around with editing human embryos in the name of trying to cure disease. There was, hold on, let's see. Everything is locking up. Here we go. I wanted to find the story about the Chinese factories that are working on. We talked about the dogs, though I don't know if we talked extensively about them, but I posted a story about it, and the pigs and the cows. So the cows, those cows that we talked about where they put the human genes for producing milk into the cows, there were 300 of them. And that was back in like 2011, I think the story came out. And we did that story again the other day. Well, listen, world's largest cloning factory in China is set to produce cattle, ranch horses, and sniffer dogs. Up to 1 million cattle embryos per year. China is no stranger to the commercial opportunities of genetic editing, but its latest ambition applies the controversial techniques on a much grander scale. The nation is currently building the world's largest cloning factory in a government-sponsored business park in Tianjin, with the facility set to commence operations by mid-2016, focusing primarily on cloned cattle embryos for food. Ding, da, da, ding, 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 ding. All right, guys. Well, I hate to say it, but the show is about over. Make sure you stick around. It is Wednesday, so Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next. And then tonight we have Josh live with the Anti-Tyranny News at 6 p.m. Eastern. Continual Condition with the Boys from New York at 8 p.m. Truth or Talk Radio with April and Burstein at 9. And then at 11 p.m. Eastern, Anti-Media Radio with Nick and DB. So make sure you guys stick around. Have an awesome Wednesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.